Book of Proverbs. While you're doing that, that'll allow me the time to welcome all of our friends, neighbors, fellow believers, travelers, and shut-ins who have just joined us on our website or on our YouTube channel. Welcome to our special fifth Sunday service here at First Baptist Church of Burton, Texas. Our fifth Sundays, we enjoy a time of extended fellowship following the worship service where we'll have a meal together. And today's even more special. We're going to have our picnic, church picnic together. So we're looking forward to that. But that's something that we cannot share with you, though, on this medium. But so you'll want to come the next time we have that. So I invite you to come every Sunday, but on our fifth Sunday, you come and join in the fellowship with us. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But here's the other side of it. He that keeps the law, oh, that's absolute drudgery. That's misery. That's heartache. That's sorrow to have to keep God's word. No, that's not what it says. It says happy. See, the world says, in Joel chapter 2, the Bible says there, of the approaching day of the Lord that Peter also quoted in Acts chapter 2 at the beginning of the last days. It says there, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. If you're looking for that, I was just going to quote it, but Joel 2:28. You can check me to see if I'm quoting it right. It's Joel 2:28. It says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That doesn't mean that they'll pastor. It means they'll prophesy. Prophesy is to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. Prophesy, the gift of prophecy, before the Bible was given and completed, God gave gifts to the apostles in the New Testament to utter God's word as the prophets in the Old Testament did. But now once the scripture is completed, there's no need for that gift. The gift has been fulfilled in the written word that we have. So we have a completed revelation for God, from God to us in this word that we hold in our hands. So God wants young men, young women to proclaim this truth that is in this word. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, that doesn't mean they fall asleep in church. It means to proclaim the wisdom from experiencing this truth in God's word. That's why young people need to be around older people. That's why older people need to be around younger people. That's why we don't separate services. We need each other's fellowship from all different walks of life, from all different backgrounds, and from every age. Your young men shall see visions. That means to proclaim faith and the application from the Word of God to your life. Now that's going to be our, in Joel, that's going to be our theme verse for a few weeks as we look at this subject of seeing visions and dreaming dreams. And let me just say at the outset that it will not be what the non-denominational charismaticism folks teach about this verse, which, by the way, is a denomination, a name that they're identified with. A denomination just simply means name, and it identifies you with a group, a certain group of people that worships and serves the Lord in a certain way. So there is no such thing as a non-denominational. It just means you leave the name off and hide what you really believe in practice. But they teach falsely that these are your visions and your dreams and your goals and your agenda, and all you have to do is claim this promise to Israel. Joel is written to Israel. So claim this promise as your own. This is your destiny to fulfill your vision, your hopes, and your dreams. But you see, they change the meaning and application of these verses, and they leave out portions of them in order for their teaching to fit in. You see, when someone doesn't use the Bible as the final authority, but their belief or their theology, then they bend the Bible to fit their theology instead of the reverse. For instance, here in our text in Proverbs, only the first half of this verse is quoted. Where there is no vision, the people perish. How many times have you heard that quoted without the second half? Without the second half of the verse, you're going to misunderstand the first half. They'll only quote in Hosea 4, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But they leave off the second half of that verse, which says, "And leave off because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God," the word of God. Seeing you have turned away from the word of God to your theology, to your personal beliefs, to your philosophy, I'll reject you. And he also said, "I'll forget your children." So if you include the whole verse in context, you see, it just won't fit into their false, man-centered, humanistic teaching. Folks, this is lockstep teaching to pave the way for the spiritual aspect of the reign of Antichrist through his false prophets. Another, by the way, you know those are not going to be their names. The Antichrist will not say, "Hello world, I'm the Antichrist, and this is the false prophet." No, he'll say, "I'm Donald Trump. Let's make the world great again, and this is my spiritual advisor, Paula White, a charismatic pastor." But just to be fair and balanced, he'll say, "I'm Barack Hussein Obama, and world, it's time for a change. And this is my spiritual advisor and pastor, Jeremiah Wright, a United Church of Christ pastor." See, a liar will never identify himself as one. I'm not negatively criticizing the charismatic movement to have something to preach about. I've got a lot better things in the Word of God to preach about. But I consider it a waste of good airtime to point out the tired, reworked, regurgitated teaching of Renaissance humanism that they're teaching, and the theology of Jacob Arminius, and John Wesley and his holiness movement with all of its tentacles. I do have other things to preach about, but it's my responsibility to say something when some of our folks, and particularly our younger folks, are getting confused because of their teaching. The reason why so many Christians are confused by the false teaching of charismaticism is they own most of the religious media outlets. When you Google religious questions, guess who's answering them? And another, by the way, when you Google or any other search engine that you use, that search engine is not the oracles of God. If you have a religious question, ask this oracle. I love it when it gets quiet. That means that I'm following exactly what the Lord said to say. I can preach without amens. I was still going to preach. Yeah, that means say amen. You see, a lot of confusion that's taking place in Bible-believing churches because that teaching is even being brought in because you've listened to it during the week or watched it on TV. And this is the popular movement today. This has the largest churches. This is why large Baptist churches with no clue as to their heritage is dropping Baptists off of their names, changing their worship to a nightclub jam session, and changing their Bibles and teaching to retain their members in order to continue to grow their budgets and their numbers. You'll also fall prey to this if you've grown up without sound biblical discipleship from your parents, from your churches, had the teaching reinforced with discipline, and been given everything without working for it. Then the false message of socialism and the false message of charismaticism will definitely resonate with you. But you will perish spiritually. You will not grow one iota spiritually into the image of Jesus Christ. You will die in spiritual infancy and stand before Jesus Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ with absolutely nothing to lay down at his feet and subsequently suffer the loss of reward. And 1,000 years is a long time to suffer the loss of reward in his kingdom. This comes from an economic newsletter called The Morning Brew. It comes just after the stock market watch and report, and it has a culture session. The old accounting and finance still comes out in me, and I have to look at this every now and then. I usually do it at month end when my stomach is usually churning. That's what accountants have to do at month end. But anyway, here's what I read. The headline of that section says, "Witchcraft is in. The occult is having its moment. Witchcraft has risen in popularity during the pandemic. It's on shows, even on the Hallmark network that so many Christians watch, along with astrology, tarot cards, psychic reading. Online inquiries has increased 4% every week since March of 2020. Estimated economic spending, since March of 2020, $2.2 billion. Adam Wethington, he's just from TikTok. I don't even know what that is, but all the younger people are going, yeah. He says the occult is so relevant right now because we learned last year that we cannot control things. It causes us to look inwardly to ourselves. And in times of uncertainty, people are looking to the occult to get an answer. To get an answer about the future. Something that is reassuring. Isn't it coincidental that this is the same message of Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Paula White, Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland, Pat Robertson, Creflo Dollar. That's an interesting name that he has also. Jesse Duplantis, Joseph Prince, Perry Stone, Rod Parsley, just to name a few. And just to be clear of who I'm talking about, I would admonish you as your pastor. Now, if I'm not your pastor, this doesn't apply to you. Now, if you want to take it, fine. But God called me to pastor a group of people here at this church. That's who I'm talking to. So don't be sending me emails. I would admonish you as your pastor to avoid tuning into these religious programs on your TV and devices in order to avoid the confusion of, that this false teaching or misdiscipled teaching will produce in your life. Now, let's wash our ears with some scripture and the positive side of the truth that the Holy Spirit is going to be given us in clarifying this in the following few weeks. Without a vision, you're going to perish spiritually. But with a vision, you're going to flourish spiritually. You're going to grow spiritually. In our theme text in Joel, it says, the young man shall see visions. The old man shall dream dreams. The difference between a vision and a dream is control. You can't control a dream. It just happens to you. But you can control a vision. A vision is something that you consciously imagine. Now, here's the problem. Our young men are not seeing visions, and our old men are not dreaming dreams. Now, why is that bad for the church? That's the point of this teaching. Young people are not prophesying. Young people are not talking about the Word of God. The Spirit of God is being quenched and is not being poured out on His people. Now, this is essential for the health of a church and for the health of an individual Christian. It's not an option. And faith is the key and is the one reason why we camp so long in the book of James. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. James says, without works, faith perishes. It's dead. Vision is something that you can see. It's clear, but it's slightly different from sight. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5 that says a child of God walks by faith, not by sight.
You see, we're walking by sight. We're walking by our own understanding, by our own ingenuity, by our own intellect, instead of by faith. Faith gives us a knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, an understanding of these words of God. When Paul was praying for the Ephesian church, he prayed specifically for three things. If you'll look in Ephesians 1, don't lose your place in Proverbs. We're not going to refer to it that much, but I want you to keep it on your lap. It's a good practice. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Paul said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith. Now, how would you hear about somebody's faith unless it's an action that affects other people? After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, what is he praying specifically for the believers at Ephesus? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, wisdom, dreams, revelation, visions, in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, when you can see visions of the Word of God, dream dreams of the Word of God, and the will of God for your life, here's what it's going to result in, and here's the three things he was praying for. Verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is God calling you to do? If you cannot answer that question as an individual, what in the world do you do every day? God has called each of us to a spiritual vocation, he's going to say in chapter 4, verse 1. Walk worthy of that calling, he's going to say. If you don't know what the calling is, how can you walk worthy of it? What has God saved you to do? What has he gifted you? What is your purpose? If you don't know what your purpose is, you won't know at the end of the day whether you've done it or not. You're going to get a vision from the world and from your selfishness instead of from the Word of God if you don't get this truth. And you're going to join in lockstep with the world instead of with the will of God. That's why people are so confused today, so bewildered. That's why their life is filled with worry instead of peace. No purpose. And so they sort of, you know, go to church because you're supposed to go to church. And, you know, is it 12 o'clock yet? And by the way, I never finish at 12 o'clock. I just want to let y'all know that. Yeah, now you say amen. Yeah. Yeah. You notice the guys in the back really enjoyed that. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, number one, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you know how rich you are? Do you know what you have available to you? Do you know what you can do, what you can receive in order to do the purpose that God has called you to do? You have all the means available to you. But you don't see that right now. Neither did the church at Ephesus. That's why Paul's praying. And that's why he's teaching what he's teaching in these six chapters. He said that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, not the working of your power. The eyes of your understanding. You ever heard someone say, oh, now I see it? He's saying, oh, now I understand. A vision is an understanding of the scriptures by faith. You see it. The Holy Spirit, the author of these words, gives you a spiritual understanding of not just these words, but what they mean to you. How you are to live them out in your life. How they become a spiritual reality. They become living words instead of dead words on the page that you gain a knowledge of. The knowledge is for understanding. The understanding is for wisdom to apply it to your everyday life. And if you do, the result of that is happiness. Not you say, you sure look ugly when you do that. So do y'all. When you're unhappy as a Christian, you know what that is? It's a public announcement that you're not living according to the Word of God. Without living out your faith according to God's will and His specific purpose for you individually, it will be in vain. Your Christianity will be for nothing. It will be, as we saw, just a wandering around in the wilderness without fulfilling the purpose of God that He has for your life and for your salvation. You'll never see Canaan. You'll never see the purpose God had in saving you. Faith gives us a vision to see what others cannot see. Oh, young men, young Christians have a vision, but it's a vision from the flesh and from the world. A college, a career, a job, a house, a car, a knockout gorgeous wife, a perfect rich husband, 2 straight A children.
So did he.
A straight A, 2 straight A children, a boy and a girl. One of each. Perfect health. Financial security. My sports team always winning the world championship every year. That's the vision that most young men, young Christians have. And the old men, the older Christians, they have a dream. But it's a dream from the flesh and from the world. When I retire, retirement's going to solve all the problems. I think I hear wisdom speaking. When I retire, I'll finish school that I dropped out of. I'll get the dream home in the country, a newer car that I could never afford, the old broke-down, sagging wife, and anything but perfect, poor husband would somehow be transformed, that the children who got C's and D's and even some F's, who didn't get a good job or a job at all, would move out and be independent, hopefully before they're 45, and that it wouldn't take 35 minutes to list out all of my ailments, and that my retirement savings would grow from $7.89 to $1 million, and that the Astros would win at least one World Series without cheating before they rebuild for the next 50 years. People watching on YouTube, it will do no good to throw objects at the screen. Obviously, that's not what this verse is saying about visions. It's not what Joel 2 is saying about dreams. The key is this second part, as I said, the law, the Word of God. This vision is within God's will and word. Where there is no navigation, where there is no map, where there is no compass, a ship sailing for harbor will wreck. 1 Timothy 1 mentions about people, Christians, who have made shipwreck of their lives. That's what he's talking about. Those who have disregarded the Word of God and disregarded faith and live their lives according to their own means, just like the lost world is doing. It will end in spiritual shipwreck. The first sentence in the Bible, "In the beginning, God," has to be the first sentence of our life and purpose. I'm going to give you 3 points, and then we'll pick up here next week, Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't come back. If he does come back, look for the special roped-off section, and we'll finish it there. Number one, a vision is something greater than yourself. A vision is something greater than yourself. Number two, to carry out a vision, you have to take the limits off your thinking. To carry out a vision, you have to take the limits off your thinking and your abilities. And number three, you thought this was going to take a long time, didn't you? I'll talk about this next time. Number three, a vision gives us a lens. A vision gives us the lens of God to be able to see people and events and even himself and ourselves through his will and his purpose. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have a clear vision when he came to earth? He knew what his mission was. Let me ask you a question. Do you? Let me ask a second question. What about that happiness word? I didn't say you're free from problems. That's never going to happen in a sin-cursed world and in a sin-cursed body. I'm saying despite that, is there a joy inside of you that just gets out on you every now and then? That despite the problems, despite the trials, despite the difficulties, there is an overruling peace and joy that comes out in your countenance and in your dealings with other people. Would you characterize your life as predominantly happy or predominantly unhappy? That'll tell you just about where you are on the spiritual gauge in your walk with Christ. And it's why this teaching is so essential to get. So I urge you the next few weeks, please pay attention. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying in these verses and other verses. And then we're going to look at a spiritual example in a Bible character of how he lived that out and how it resulted in his life, which is why God gives us the account of people in the Bible. And then we're going to look at someone who didn't. So we'll have the teaching and an example, and hopefully each and every person, including myself, will apply this to ourselves. So let me ask you, do you have or do you not have a vision from God's Word as to what you're supposed to be doing? Has it resulted in a dream of it taking place to where you can be an example to other people? Where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm not talking about salvation. He's talking to God's people. God's people do not lose salvation. It's not ours to lose. He's talking about something that is in our control to lose: our testimony, our witness, our effectiveness of being an influence to other people with our life and how we live it, interacting to them. Without a vision, without a clear direction and understanding of God's Word for your life, your spiritual life is going to be quenched out. What a shame to have to stand and look at Jesus Christ one day and say, "Oh, I wish I'd have done that." But he that keeps the law, he that follows the Word of God by faith and does it, lives it out, happy. Happy is he. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your Word. Lord, how it clears up false understanding, false teaching. Lord, how it opens our eyes spiritually to the truth. And Lord, we thank you that you chose this medium of communication to speak your revelation to us. And not only that, but you put the author of these words into our very soul to guide us into this truth and to bear witness of it, and to lead us and guide us into greater obedience of this truth, that we might become more Christ-like, that we might become the servants and the children that you have formed us from the womb to be. Lord, you have a specific will and purpose for every saved individual in this room. And Lord, the answer is right here in your Word as to what that is. And I pray over the coming weeks, Spirit of God, you'd open our heart, you'd open the eyes of our understanding, that we might know clearly what it is, so that we might start living it out, so that we won't have to bow our heads in shame before you one day, but that we can come boldly, not in ourselves, but in you, as we look into your face and look into the scars that are there in your hands and in your feet, realizing what sacrifice you did for us. Lord, may we freely give up our own lives, our own agenda, our own plans, our own visions, our own dreams. And may we lay them at your feet this morning and say, Lord, we want your vision. We want your dreams. We want your Word to be in our hearts, in our minds, in our understanding, and in the way we live our everyday life. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you, they've never been born again, I pray this would be the day that they would ask you to come into their lives and that they would receive you as Lord and Savior of their life. But Lord, this message is for your people. And I pray that we will listen
that we've heard it in this introduction and that we would put it into effect. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.